This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
I'm nothing like my dad.
I want to be just like you.
I fought to keep this planet safe. Your power's gotta be due any day now, son.
I'm scared, Dad. What if I can't do this?
Son, we need to talk.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And for our review slot, we find ourselves deep in the dark depths of MCO 3.0 and therefore a lot of cinematic cancellations. And we thought it would be a good time to talk about stuff we missed, right? Things that came out fairly recently, but that we enjoyed and you might be finding some time to watch at the moment. So today we are focusing on Invincible.
So if you are missing superhero stuff, if you want something new to watch that's not the MCU, Invincible is so, so, so good. It's a real underdog. I didn't really pay a lot of attention to it. It is an animated series, which again, I think a lot of people may not be naturally drawn to. But honestly, it's one of the best superhero things I've watched in recent times. It's also one of just hands down the best things I've watched. It's such a good show and not really about, I mean, it's about superheroes, but it's also kind of not about superheroes, which is what makes it so great.
So this is the power of social media, right? Like, I knew of Invincible. I had no intention to watch it anytime soon. I thought I'd like check it out when I have nothing else to binge or there's nothing else to watch. Then maybe I'd give it a go. But then as the episodes kept dropping, my social media feed was like flooded with Invincible stuff, like reviews and like, oh, did you see this? And did you see that? Without spoilers. And I couldn't like scroll on Instagram without seeing at least a couple of posts a day. So the algorithm worked, like, you know, I became its digital puppet or whatever. And I'm happy. And like this one time or this few times, I'm happy that the algorithm showed me what I have to check out and what I have to watch. And I watched it and I'm so, so, so glad I did, because it's such an amazing show. It doesn't look it, but it's such an amazing show.
Also, I wanted to say power of influencing. I watched it because Arvin kept saying he heard it was great.
Yeah. And then I watched it because you both started watching it. So here's where we find ourselves.
Digital puppets
at the end of the day. A quick rundown of the facts. So it's available on Amazon Prime. And interestingly, it was adapted. So this is the less interesting part. It was adapted from a comic book series, right? And it's also called Invincible by Robert Kirkman, Cory Walker, Ryan Otley. But the show is also created by Robert Kirkman. And I think that that is a very strong through line. And perhaps why, I mean, because we often see with comic book adaptations, they're quite touch and go, especially in terms of what they choose to take and what they choose to leave behind. But I think Invincible, from what I understand, not having read the books, it's quite true to the story. So it essentially tells the story of a world where superheroes are a given. And if there were a league, say, then top of the league is Guardians of the Globe. And then you have the other sort of more small fry kind of heroes.
Like the teenage ones.
Exactly. Solving smaller issues. But apart from all of them is Omni-Man, who is, as his name suggests, omnipotent almost, the most powerful being. He has a son, a teenage son, with a woman, Mark Grayson. And Mark is really our protagonist, right? He's the one who, he knows his father is really powerful, but his powers haven't kicked in yet. As the show progresses, some bad things happen to some superheroes. Mark gets his powers, has to step up. And I think the show essentially opens up a lot of doors for you to wonder, what is Omni-Man? What are his motivations? Who is he?
Who is he? And also that relationship between Mark and his father, right? Because that's really at the heart of this. It's that's what I meant by it is a superhero show, but it's also a lot more than that. For me, really, what pushed this over above others that I've watched is that focus on identity, that focus on relationship, particularly when you're the son of this outsized being. What does that mean when you start also stepping into that line and you may have different ideals or different ways of being a hero than your father did? And also at the same time, you're contending with a lot of other people who all do these things differently, right? And you have a whole bunch of superheroes who all have different ideas of what it means, different goals and aims. And I think what I like the most about the series is that unlike a lot of other shows, there is an overarching theme and there is like one major plot point, but every episode also has sort of mini stories and mini characters that are introduced along the way. Every character has a pretty defined storyline to work through, and all of that makes every episode a really rich watch.
And also, like, all the stuff you mentioned, it's it falls under that the deconstruction of superheroes genre, right? Which is its own thing now. There's a whole bucket full of shows like that, like The Boys does it, Jupiter's Legacy, new on Netflix, that does it as well. And it's sort of like it was borderline going to be that sort of show, that superheroes are bad and, you know, superheroes are sort of conflicted and we should, you know, be careful, blah, blah, all that, those things. And I think I've said a couple of times that I don't like that genre because I find it kind of boring, or it's been done, or it hasn't been done as well as Watchmen, any one of those reasons. And this wasn't it. So Robert Kirkman, I think I read somewhere that he created Invincible because he was frustrated with the big two, so Marvel and DC. And you can see that Mark is actually Spider-Man, and then they are proxies for literally every member of the Justice League here. Like, they're not even trying to hide it. There's a guy called Martian Man. So there's no creativity like put into, like, you know, this might be a different character, a different trope. So he could have been very bitter if he wanted to be. It could have been very Alan Moore. Or it could have been like The Boys, you know, but it's not. At the heart of it, it still has that superhero decency that I love. Like, it has a moral compass. It's just that there's a lot of other things, like there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of gore, a lot of questionable things that makes you rethink the superhero genre without stepping on the superhero genre, if that makes sense.
So I think we can definitely get into the violence and gore in a bit, because it is a big part of the show. But I did want to mention that comparison between Mark Grayson slash Invincible, right, which is his superhero name, and Peter Parker slash Spider-Man, because the comparisons are all there. They're both in high school. They're both kind of hiding their powers from their friends, from the people or from the girls in particular that they're interested in. But the other thing that I really enjoy is that Mark is such a teenager. I mean, he's a very smart, very fun teenager. But at the same time, there is a little whine to his voice sometimes when he has to do things. He does fall behind in his homework. He also thinks it's really cool that he can fly. And I think when you watch a show with as much possibility for showing how cool that is as an animation can, it's really nice to have a central character who is that wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I just really love that about the show, that he's a real teen and he's so fun to be around and fun to be with and watch.
It's even more impressive when you realize that he's voiced by Steven Yeun, who is an adult, right? He's not a teenager himself. And that speaks to, I think, a larger... Another thing that this show has done incredibly well, which is the voice cast. Every character has such a great voice actor. Some big names. It's a stacked cast. You have J.K. Simmons voicing Omni-Man. You have Sandra Oh voicing Mark's mom. Then you have people like Zachary Quinto. You have Mahershala Ali, who pops up throughout the series. But it never feels like stunt casting. You know, every time I hear a new character walk on screen and start speaking, they sound great. They sound exactly how that character should sound. Mark is a great example, right? Like Steve Yeun does such a great job capturing the vulnerability and the sort of hope and the teenageness of the voice. Every actor is great. And I think it's so underrated to have a TV series that actually focuses that much on casting the right person for their character.
And the voices also don't stand out, right? Like, you don't hear like Mahershala Ali and go like, oh, you know, that's him, and it doesn't like blend with the character that he's playing. It's all done like very well. I think that speaks to the like the production value of the show itself. Like you can see that some episodes have a bigger budget than the others. It's also 2D animated, and I'm really glad that they went the 2D animated way, because it felt like watching a cartoon from like 1998 until the hyper violence kicks in, and then you're like, oh, okay, this is Prime, and I'm an adult. And those kinds of things are nice, but at the same time, they don't overdo it with the flashy stuff. It doesn't look impressive at all. There's some of the animation in certain episodes are really bad. And I mean bad, like you can see the people in the background just like static cardboard cutouts, because maybe the budget doesn't allow them to animate. But because the story is so heavy and it's so good, you don't actually care. You're willing to put up with like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. You know, as long as the story progresses and I'm hooked and I want to see where this goes, I'm fine. And that's just because it has like such a dense plot. Like there's so much going on in like every single episode.
So this is an episode of Stuff We Missed, where we look at things that dropped recently and that we didn't get to review until now. And we're talking today about the very fun, very dark Invincible, which is an adult animated series, importantly, that is available on Amazon Prime. We'd like to know if you've managed to catch Invincible. Are you still interested in superheroes or the whole genre of deconstructing superheroes? You can let us know by WhatsApping 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Was you in the blue and the yellow?
Why don't you meet the team after school?
May we count on you in the future?
Yeah, I think so.
And bored of this.
Dude, I wasn't ready before. Now I am.
You being a superhero is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. Now take me flying or I'm gonna tell everyone you're invincible.
Sorry, not sorry.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvind. Today on our review slot, we're talking about Stuff We Missed, and we're focusing on Invincible, which dropped, or rather premiered, on Amazon Prime on March 25th. So just 3 or so months ago now. And we talked a little bit about why the show is interesting. I think part of it is in that same vein of deconstructing superheroes is that, yes, there is a focus on the conflict between the Grayson family, right? Between Omni-Man and his son. But there are also a whole host of other superheroes who have also backstories, complicated family lives, questions about why it is that they are the way they are. So, for example, there's Monster Girl, whose power is that she is a monster. I mean, that's pretty much it. She goes from being a little girl to becoming this massive monster fighting machine. And every time she reverts back to her girl body, she gets younger. And so she's actually like, what, 23, 25? And she looks 10. And I mean, that is kind of a weird superhero. And there are more of them like that.
Yeah. And I think the show really is interested in examining not just deconstructing the morality of the superheroes, but I think also examining what it does to a person to have these powers, right? And to have this responsibility to do something with them. But then what does that do to you as a person? Because every one of these characters struggle with those. You have Adam Eve, for instance, who is kind of Mark's friend, in this journey, potential love triangle person as well. But even she has this sort of, her parents are not huge on the fact that she's a superhero. She's struggling with independence. And there's a whole undertone of, you know, families that don't want their children to bring shame to the family or to be more than what they should be and things like that. So I think that's what makes this show interesting, in that it is interested in deconstructing the superhero genre to a certain extent, but I think it's interested in also larger questions of what that might mean.
And there are no small characters, so there are no like side characters in this show. Like some of them get less time than the others, but even the really dumb ones, like Robot shows up in one episode and you're like, it's just a robot. And then you go on, you find out that it's a lot more, you know, they develop on his character so much that that you are genuinely shocked at where these things can go. Monster Girl, same thing. She's like a Hulk proxy, but then there's so much that's different about her than the Incredible Hulk, you know, when compared. There's so many characters that show up and you think they are just like there for the sake of progressing the story, like the thugs or the people that they take down. And then they go on to have their own like side stories and they develop into like full-blown characters and things. I think that's just Robert Kirkman's way of like writing stuff. Like The Walking Dead did the same thing before it fell off the bandwagon. He just loves developing very complex, subversive characters that you honestly cannot see coming. Like they completely blindside you if you let them.
And it's so fun. I keep coming back to that because I feel like when you say deconstructing superhero, you either get people who were never going to be into comic books anyway going, all right, yeah, just cross that off, not interested. Or you get people who are super into comic books and superheroes going, I have had it with the deconstruction. I would just like to watch something that I know, or I just like to watch something that delights in it. And the beautiful thing about Invincible is it kind of straddles those lines. It loves up on the genre at the same time as it goes, yeah, but did you ever really think about what it would mean to be this person? And to that, in that same vein of the animation being kind of flat and weird and helping it along, because I don't know why, I'm actually not sure why the animation works the way it does. I didn't like it at the start. I was in it for the story and the voice. And then as time went on and, you know, the more spines and intestines got dragged out through people's torsos, I was like, you know, maybe I'm glad that the animation's not so good. The other thing I really delight in is we've said some of their names. Listen to the names that we're saying, people. Robot is a character.
Rexplode.
Voiced by Jason Mantzoukas, who you will recognize the instant he opens his mouth. Just even Omni-Man is not that great a superhero name, but it's almost... That's just the world that it occupies, where it's a little bit nudge, nudge, wink, wink, but it's also very sincere. And I think that it manages that really well.
You're right. Fun is actually a great word for it, right? Even the violence and the gore, you know, there are some scenes that happen. I don't see them coming, especially in the earlier episodes. And then it's so violent and you're just like, what am I watching? This isn't something that would work live action. It could only work in animation and it could only work in this kind of animation where a part of you is kind of like really freaked out that this is happening. But another part of you is kind of low-key enjoying this creepy, weird violence that's happening. And I think that balance is tough to strike. Everything about the show, every new revelation, it's delightful. And then it sort of sucker punches you emotionally when you least expect it. By the end of the first season, you know, there are some scenes that really just brought me to tears. And I did not expect that.
Did not expect that from a 2D animated show that's not even well animated at times.
Static characters in background getting blown up by aliens.
Yeah, it's a very confident show, la. I think it knows exactly what it's doing and it doesn't try to do too much. Like we've said, like deconstruction of the superhero genre, it is, but it also knows that it cannot exist without the golden age of superheroes that we have now. There's this interview that Robert Kirkman did with Sci-Fi, I think, where he said that the mainstream audience has to be so in tune or so literate with the way superheroes work for them to understand what Invincible is doing, because if they don't, then they wouldn't get the subversive nature of the show. So it's so bold. Like it knows where it sits. It's not trying to step on anyone's toes, and it understands that you need the hyper popular like Marvel, DC, those tropey superhero stuff made by the massive conglomerates to exist for a small fry show. Like, I mean, Invincible is not small fry. It's on Prime. It's on Amazon. So, you know, arguable who's the massive corporation here. But, you know, you need the smaller shows. You need the big ones to exist for the smaller ones to happen as well. It's like a weird symbiosis that's going on that's very charming. And it's nice to know that they can work with each other instead of against each other.
I'm just glad that it's a show. So I think we've talked about how it's good that it's animated. Again, the hyper-violence, I actually really don't ever want to see this. Like, the level of heads getting ripped off and just, like, it works best in this form. But it also works best as a show. I'm glad that it's not a movie. I think that a movie trying to cram all these themes in would have denied me Rexplode, and I like the fact that he gets to have a fair amount of time. You know, there is an interlude of an episode where they go to college, and I think that that episode alone is one of the most horrifying things that happen, because it happens to side characters. You're not even aware of the level of violence and malevolence, right, that's out there in the world, because when you have this many heroes, you are also going to have this many villains. And again, the show gets to have a lot of fun with that. The other thing I wanted to say is, I think you need to give it some time. So we're talking as if we started watching it and fell right in love. But the truth is, the first episode I spent unsure. I wasn't really certain where it was going to go. It's a very slow start because I think there are so many, as we've established, there are so many different things to set up. Family life, school life, different superheroes, what's going on. And I think you have to give it a little bit of time for the world building. And then from then on, it's just like hyperspeed and it never slows down.
That's interesting, because for me, the first episode completely hooked me. And from there, I knew I needed to know what was going to happen. So something happens in the first episode, which I think you would completely be like, oh my God, is this really happening? And because of that, and because I really needed to know what it was and why it was happening, I was like, I'm at least going to watch the next one. And then, you know, there's the next one and the next one. And by the time you know it, well, I binged all of this over the course of 2 days. But yeah, for me, there was no question. It was from the start, I was all in.
I think I was sort of like, I was lukewarm the first episode until the end of the first episode. So that's another play on like the superhero genre, right? They have the post-credit scenes. The only difference is that these are not post-credit scenes. These are like actual parts of the plot. Like if you miss the post-credits and you turn off before the credits are done, then you miss like chunks of an actual story and you might be lost when the next episode starts. So it's not just like a stinger telling you that you should come back for the next movie or whatever. It's like, no, you need to see this. Otherwise, you won't know what's going on. So yeah, after the like episode two onwards, I was like full on, like couldn't wait to see where this goes. And it goes places, lah.
So I need to clarify that when I say first episode, I mean the first episode's body. So not necessarily the stinger. But once you watch the stinger, you're like, ah. It's also, they had thought of keeping that stinger as a finisher for the season. I think Robert Kirkman had initially discussed kind of saving that and putting it at the end and being told that if you do that, there's probably no show. And I think that that's fairly accurate because that sets up all these conflicts that we're talking about, right? And lets the rest of the story breathe and unfold. Listening to J.K. Simmons for episodes makes me happy. We've been talking today about Invincible, which is an adult animated superhero show that dropped on Amazon Prime just a couple of months ago, March. And we want to know if you've seen it. Are you interested in it? Does it sound like something you'd be keen on? Let us know. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.